Thank God. Let's turn over to Psalm 20 today. Psalm 20. Everybody there? Or it's on your sheet. Psalm 20. It says, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May He remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May He grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember or trust in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen up. Risen and stand upright, save, Lord, may the King answer us when we call." Now the first few verses talk about the Lord answering us in times of trouble. He says, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. And He remember your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice." Verse 7. Says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Another translation says, we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Some people, even Christians, are trusting more in natural things than they are in God. And that's exactly what this is talking about. Some trust in chariots. Well, that was talking about military might here at this point. In chariots, some trust, some in horses. There's a different place that says the God is not impressed with the legs of a man. He's not impressed with human strength. Do we understand that? Doesn't matter how strong a person is. Doesn't matter how smart they are. Doesn't matter, you know, a group of people, nation. God is more powerful than all. Do we understand this? But it's easy to take your eyes off Him and look at natural things. And you know, we're in a time right now, I don't know what the future holds, neither do you. God does. We don't know what's going to happen this week. But I do know we know God. And we have the political scene, but you guys have already seen there's things with threats of terrorist attacks this week. It's always there. But no matter, we can't rely on the natural to save us and to defend us. We need to know our God. We need to trust in Him. We need to rely on Him. We need to take our eyes off the natural scene of things and look to the Almighty. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere. And He will strengthen us. He will defend us. He will help us because we call on Him, because we believe in Him. That's where our faith needs to be. Period. Fear is the result of taking your eyes off Him. As a Christian, we have no reason to fear. As a Christian, fear is dead, is death, and it's deadly. Fear is from Satan. Fear, whether it's fear of lack, fear of death in any of its forms, fear of, you know, medical conditions, fear of relationships happening, going south, fear of financial failure, fear of attack, or fear of somebody stealing from you or hurting you. It all comes, it all has a place in our life because of us taking our eyes off of Him. Because if we had our eyes on Him, is He the Almighty or not? Is He able to save you or not? Is He able to make you prosper in the midst of what could be famine or not? He's done it. Then why would we fear? Why would we be afraid? What's going to happen to my family? Well, I'm not saying you don't think about certain natural things, but why would you fear? There's a difference. We all have to be concerned about things in a measure. You don't just go through life. If you're going to be responsible just with your head in the sand, you're going to think about things. There's a difference between that and being afraid. Fear involves torment. Everybody acknowledge that?
Yes.
I just think it's so, it's not amusing. It's sad that some people think they enjoy like watching horror movies and being scared. They don't understand what they're yielding to. Fear is devilish. Nobody in their right mind says, I really like being afraid. You may think, you know, when there's not any danger, but when there is danger, nobody likes the feeling of being afraid of loss. But to be liking that sensation or a false sensation is a lack of understanding. Fear, in all its forms, is from Satan. Because there is no fear. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. God is love. If you know God and you're with Him and your mind is stayed on Him, you won't be afraid. Do you think God's afraid of anything? There was this story. I can't remember. Yeah, I heard of the past. I think it was actually true, but it was funny. You know, there was a meeting. He had to be careful about people having quote-unquote words. But there were some people, you know, maybe it was at that place where, especially back in the 80s and stuff, it's like, you know, people get done with praise and worship, and they'd have an hour-long praise and worship, and then they're sitting there and they're silent, and that's the time people start having quote-unquote words. I'm not saying that's not a good time. I'm just saying it can get mechanical. But anyway, there was this lady that spoke out like she was saying a word, and she said, oh, you know, it was something like this. Oh, child, I understand when you are afraid. I get afraid myself sometimes. As if that's coming from God. Well, you know that wasn't a word from God. Because God is not afraid. He never gets afraid. Not even a little bit. He doesn't back down from anybody. He's not even ever wondering if he's going to win. It's never like, well, can I get through this? It's not even a thought in his mind. God, there is no, I like it, it says in a place, I think it's in Psalms or Proverbs, but there is no power or might against the Lord. There's nothing. There is no weapon. There is no scheme. There is no intelligence. There is no power that can take on the Almighty. It does not exist. He's not even a little bit afraid ever. He's not afraid it's not going to turn out right. He can't. He would be yielding to the enemy to do that. It's impossible. God is not afraid. There's nothing that can come against him and succeed. Talk about fortified. He, It's impossible. Satan tried it. Look how that turned out. I don't know what those angels were thinking. He said, hey guys, I'm gonna go take out the Almighty. You want to come with me? Hey, what were they, drinking something? I mean, were they on drugs? I don't know if they have that in the spiritual realm, but what were they thinking? Did it just, was this after a party? They were, you know, all hallucinating. They think, hey, guys, let's go take out God. Yeah, who's with me? Seemed like a good idea at the time. I don't know. They've been around. Who knows how long these beings have been around? They know who they're dealing with. Why did that seem like a good idea? It's impossible. He can't be beaten. He is impenetrable. And when he saw him coming, he's not thinking, oh. He's probably thinking, really? Okay. Here we go. I got to deal with these guys. But it wasn't fear. They said it wasn't fear. None. See, if your eye is on the natural, like what this is some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we'll trust in the name of the Lord our God. We'll remember the name of our Lord. If you're trusting in stuff that you can see and that seems to falter, there'll be fear. I'm going to say that again. Yeah. If you're trusting in something you can see, if your eyes are on the natural in any way, shape, or form, and that falters or that doesn't look right, there will be a temptation to fear, because those things, they're subject to change. They're temporal. That means they can change. I don't care who you think is a rock on this earth. What organization, what person, anything. It can be moved. And it can look like it's being moved. And if you get your eye on that, you will be shaken. The only way you're going to keep from being shaken is to immediately get your eyes back on the Lord. Because He's not afraid. He knows in every situation the right answer. He knows how to avert failure, how to keep disaster from happening every time. There is no scheme that can work against God. And by extension, if you and I are hooked up with Him and listening to Him, there is no scheme or power that can take you out. There isn't. I understand. So people are thinking, we'll maybe hit some things, but people are thinking, but we got to look at what the Word says. Hallelujah. We need to be solid and trusting in Him and not do what this verse is saying, not do it in the negative. We do not want to be the people that are trusting in what we can see or in the might of some human entity or organization. Because that's subject to change and you yield to fear that way. God is unstoppable, He's immovable, and we're His children. Think about it. Let's look on your sheet. John 14:25. It says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus said, I give you my peace. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Don't fear. Well, it's saying you don't fear. We have something to do. Well, I just can't help it. That's not true. Why would we be afraid? We're looking at the wrong thing. That's why. Because think about it. As we've been talking, if you're looking at God and you know you're with Him, where's the fear in that? See, it's when we start looking back at what could possibly happen in natural that you start to say, yeah, but. Well, the minute you say but, you're not looking at Him. You're looking at this other thing and thinking somehow that thing could win against God. That's why you would fear. Pure and simple. That's why you would fear. You don't believe, not convinced, that God would take care of you like He has promised. And that subjects us to fear. And fear is torment. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, but we have to receive it. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Isaiah 41:10, we read this, well, read a number of times, but this is awesome portion of Scripture. It says, fear not. Why? For I am with you. Be not dismayed. Why? For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Again, look at the first verse. Fear not. Why? For I'm with you. So if we're feeling fear, experiencing fear, then we're not looking at the fact that He's with us. We're not trusting in the fact that He's our God, that He'll strengthen us, that He'll help us. Good night. That fourth line there, if He said, I'll help you, that ought to just, okay, you're going to help me. You're going to help me. Well, I don't have to take this by myself. You're going to help me, and we know you're up to any task. So if that's the case, okay, I'm good. I'm okay then. He said, I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. He'll uphold us. So He is going to strengthen us, to help us, to uphold us. So why would we fear? We're looking at something else. See, this is where battles are lost or won. It's what we look at. This world is just throwing all kinds of stuff to us, at us, that if you look at that, you'll be tempted to fear. You'll be tempted to be afraid for your safety, for the future of your children, for your life, for your financial well-being, for your health. But none of those things changed God and His Word to us. Not living in 2016, not the diseases that are, you know, on the earth now, not the people groups that are threatening violence now, not the financial situation. None of those things changes who God is and our relationship to Him. He is still the Lord, and He's not threatened by any of it. He's not afraid of any of it. God is in heaven right now, and He is not afraid whatsoever. He is not thinking real hard. He's not worried. He's at peace. Perfect peace. Right now. There is not chaos in heaven right now. Guys, it's completely serene. It's peaceful. The Almighty's there. Jesus is there. The Lamb is there. They don't need a son. Why? They have Jesus. The streets are paved with gold. The gates have precious stones. People are in the presence of God Almighty. There is no fear. There is no turmoil. And God is not trying to figure out how He's going to solve the world's issues. He's at peace. He already knows what needs to be done. It's a matter of men looking to Him. We're His children. Are we?
Yes.
So if God is not worried, He's not threatened, He's not uptight, He's not losing any sleep. Number one, I don't believe He sleeps, the Bible says. He's available all the time. Why would we not be in peace? Jesus said He gave us His peace. We have to take it. We have to say, that's for me. Why would we be afraid? Why would we be uptight? Because we're not looking at Him and His relationship with us and what His Word says about us. That's why. Because you can name anything you want, any news article, any condition, any threat, and God, it does not trouble Him what bit. And it's not going to change His position one bit. Nothing can assault the throne of God and win. He knows. He already has the answer. You can't stump Him. He would be undefeated on Jeopardy. Trivial Pursuit. That's who we're dealing with. He has all the answers already of problems people don't even know exist or are going to exist. He already knew how to solve everything that we're dealing with in 2016 forever ago. It didn't have to appear. And He already knows if Jesus tarries, if Jesus doesn't come back for a period of time, He already knows the stuff we're going to be dealing with that we don't even see on the horizon yet. He already knows. He's not scared about it either. So why would we be scared? We're not looking at this. We're not looking at Him. We're not taking it as fact. We're not believing Him. But one part about believing is your faith is going to follow what you focus on. If you focus on the wrong thing and keep that in your face, you are going to yield to fear. Did you hear me? You can know the truth, you can have heard the truth, and if you focus on what people are saying, bad reports, saying and from ungodly sources, and you're going to look at that and say, yeah, but what about this, what about this? It will get bigger, and it will get bigger, and it will take over your thoughts, and you will be beside yourself. You will be a basket case, not because God changed, because you're not looking at Him. Your faith will follow, or lack of faith will follow what you feed, what you look at, what you look at. It is so important that we keep our eyes focused on Him. What does God's Word say? What is His Word promise in this area? Because that has not changed. But if we look and say, oh, what are they saying now about this? And what's the new threat? And gosh, what's the economy going to do? And, you know, what about these people? You'll be running around. Your head will be ready to explode. And it has nothing to do with God's His support for you or His goodness to you, but your faith will be tiny. Your faith will be depleted. Why? Because you're not feeding it. You're looking at the wrong thing. You can't will yourself to have faith when you're staring at things that are contrary to godly principles. It's not about your will. Sometimes it's just about cutting off the stuff that's depleting you and start just focusing on what God said. Look at it. Just look at what He said and just block out the other stuff. Don't look at the other stuff and then try real hard to stay in faith. That's not wise. Get the other stuff cut off and just take your eyes off that and start looking at what the Word says. That's what we're doing a little bit this morning of. Looking at what He said. When you have all these things going on, And if you're looking at those things and it producing anxiety, look at the difference between taking off from that, taking a break from that and looking and saying, this is what God said. Fear not, for I'm with you. Right there, you can just go, oh, okay, wait, all right. I got a little beside myself, but wait a minute. The Word says, fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed. Oh, I was getting dismayed. Yes, I was. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Oh, he's going to help me. Yes, that's right. He said he'd help me. Okay, I don't have to do it myself. He's going to help me, and he's all powerful, and he's all... Oh, that brings peace right there. How does peace come? Some people say, I just can't stay in peace. I just can't stay in peace. What are you listening to? What are you looking at? What are we allowing in our mind? If it's fear from people that yield to fear, from people that aren't looking at God, we are going to be in fear. We need to get our minds back. We don't trust in what people say. Don't trust in chariots and horses and the might. Oh, it looks like everything's going to be okay. It looks like the economy's going to be okay. So then I'm at peace. That's the wrong place to look. Because the next day people can say the sky's falling. All of a sudden your peace goes out the window and now you're a basket case. But you can at the same time, you could look at what people are saying and say, it could be the most negative report and you say, yeah, but God's with me. And then it could look real good. You say, yeah, but God's with me, and he'll show me how to navigate this good time in your level. And then, you know, you're at peace. And then the report comes back, oh, it's all going to fall apart. Yeah, but God's with me. He'll show me how to navigate this too. See, we become level. We don't have to go up and down with the world. We're not supposed to act like them. Amen. Because we have the Lord King of the universe, and he's not threatened, he's not uptight, and we're in his family. He said, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He's going to keep us going. He said he'd uphold it. It doesn't matter if every pillar of the society starts to fall. He said he would uphold us. We got to quit trying to fight natural battles when really the things are spiritual. We can't win fighting things with natural tools when they're spiritual. Yet temporary victories. We need to understand the reality behind the scenes. We need to understand what God has said and what his word has promised us. Look at Hebrews 13 on your sheet there. Because we're going to stay back. I'm going to have you turn to another psalm here in a minute, so I don't want you to turn. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Who? The Almighty, the one we just were talking about. He's not going anywhere. If he's next to us, if he's with us, if he's in us, then if our eyes are on that fact, you cannot fear. You can allow yourself to fear, but if your eyes are on that fact, it's going to be very, very hard. Why is it so easy? Because we're not looking at that. We look at it and go, yeah, yeah, but, and we have all these problems. Yeah, I know the Bible says that, but as if God cannot handle our situation. It's a lie. It's a smokescreen. It's Satan trying to steal again. He's trying to steal. He's always trying to steal. If he can steal your joy for 2 minutes, he's going to go for it. He'll take the little things because he knows if he can get 2 minutes, he's got an inroad to get 3 years. Well, we just keep him waiting. How about we just keep him waiting? Yep. Don't ever yield to him. And if we figure out we're yielding to him, oh, wait, I'm stopping it now and I'm getting back, getting my mind back on the Lord. Says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can this natural realm do to me? What's the worst case, in one sense, is that I die and leave this place. Where am I then? I'm at the party in heaven. Hey! I'm here. That's not so bad. It's there right now. And like I said, there's no chaos in heaven. Right now, it is smooth. It's calm. It's peaceful. You don't deal with all this nonsense that we're dealing with here. So what? You die. Oh, for the Christian, that's good news. Don't be afraid to die. Okay, so we're here. We need to, there's nothing. If the Lord is my helper, it says, I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can this realm do to me? Take my body? Hurt my body? Well, Jesus has made provision for any of that, for every part of that. That I can be well. I can be whole. I can do what He's told me I can do. Now let's turn over to Psalm 27. You should be in, back in Psalm 20 still. So Psalm 27. You guys okay? Psalm 27, verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Or whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart, what? Shall not fear. Though an army. Are there threats of these things now? Yes. But what does the Bible say? Don't fear. Oh, well, if that happens, run for the hills. No. So it says, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. People are just beside themselves. Oh, no, what if certain things happen? God will still be there. He's not going anywhere. It's going to be okay. Amen. He's on the throne. It says, verse 4, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. That the Bible or not? In the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. Well, let me ask you something. Is His pavilion secure?
Yes.
If it's His pavilion, it's impenetrable. Who's going to get in? Who can take Him out? Huh? And He said, He'll set us there. In the secret of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Does that sound like, you better watch out? You better be scared? We need to understand what the Word says, okay? We need to have more faith in what the Word says than what other people are saying and what the thoughts in your head from the enemy are saying. Because there are real conditions in this world, and fear will knock on your drawer and try to come. Or your children. I heard, we have to understand what the Word says here and take it to heart and stand on it. I'm not dying in a terrorist attack. I don't know about you. I'm saying anytime. I'm not talking about specifically now. You have to, you never know. That's the wrong attitude. The Bible doesn't say, well, you never know. Either you believe God Almighty is your fortress or not. We're going to read some more. But we have to understand. Let's read some more here, and then I'll say a few things. But look at verse 3 before we move on. Verse 3, though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Verse 5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Look at Psalm 91. Hallelujah. The word is clear on these things. Glory to God. Psalm 91. Everybody there? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, if you're under the shadow of the Almighty, that's a pretty good place to be. I look up, there's the most powerful being in the universe. Well, I'm in a good place. Because for them to take me out, they're going to have to take him out. You guys understand there are angels that are sent to protect us. It'll mention them right here. That's real. Those are real. Do you understand there's no power that can come against the Almighty and His representatives and live and be successful? The Bible says that the angel of the little ones are before me, their angel. It talks about in the Gospels, their angels are before me. That's where you get the guardian angel. I don't think we lost them growing up. In fact, Brother Hagin tells when he saw a vision of Jesus. In one of them, he was talking to Jesus, and he said there was this big guy standing next to him. He said when he would look at him, he would start to open his mouth, and he looked back at Jesus, he'd close his mouth. He said he was like 8 or 9 feet tall. And he kept looking at him, and then he would start to say something. He looked back at Jesus, and then he finally asked Jesus, who is that? Who is that guy? And he said, that's your angel. He has something to say to you. Now, I can't remember offhand right now. That's not my point right now, what he ended up saying. But he said some things to him. My point is, the angels are real. Angels can protect you. Angels can get in front of something that's going to happen, and it does not touch you. I know I've experienced them in my life. You said, how did that happen? Well, they can keep you from things. Yes. How does that operate? You believing it? Yes. Well, that's just mystical. That's just fairy tale. No, okay, well, for you, not going to work. You have to believe this. You have to take it and say, there's no question. The Bible, the things we're saying are not mincing words. They're not wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. He is my refuge and my fortress. If He's my refuge, if He's my fortress, what can touch me there? Now, I'll just insert this here because I'm going to go over this. We're going to go over this, and I want you to have this in your mind while we're going through. People say, oh, but there's been martyrs and things. You cannot be taken out unless you lay down your life. If you know what the Word says, I'm going to say that again. Because yes, I know people have been killed and they're Christians. They either did not know the word or they laid down their life. Jesus could not be taken until he laid down his life. Every time they tried to take him, he'd walk right back through the crowd. There is something, and it talks about, I'm not going to take the time to turn there, but you look over in Hebrews, it says, some of these, they allowed these things to happen to obtain a better resurrection. The Bible does talk about being martyred, but they can't take you out. No ungodly person can take you out without your consent. I can tell you guys are processing, because I understand what people, well, what about these Christians on such and such a land? They were killed. Didn't God protect them? There's a lot of Christians that don't believe in the power of God or the protection of God, and they think God will just serve them up. Well, that's not protection. It's no more than healing. People say, well, you know, it didn't work for me. If you believe that it's not for you, that you, it's, these things work by faith. But there are situations where you laying down. Look at Stephen, who saw Stephen being stoned. He did not. Stephen didn't have to go. Stephen laid down his life. There are times when people can lay down their life. And they've run their race, they've run their course. And they let themselves go. Paul ran his course. How many of you think that Paul ran his course? Paul taught us all these things about faith. But at the beginning, go back and look it up. It was prophesied that he would stand before kings. He could have, they said, if you wouldn't appeal to Caesar, you could have been let go. But he knew where he was going. But let's just deal with the fear that people say, well, I don't know. I mean, let's just get real where we are right now. There is stuff that's going on that people have a fear for their children. I heard one, this is an unbeliever, somebody I knew. But after the thing in Connecticut happened with the children. Is it Sandy Hook? And they were just like, that's so scary because we can't do anything about it. It's absolutely out of our control. That's not true for a Christian. Right. We're not at the mercy of some person that's yielding to the devil, coming in, trying to murder people. God Almighty is not at the mercy of somebody like that and will warn you, will protect you, will do whatever he needs to do. When you call on him, it says that we're in he is our refuge. No deranged person is going to take out somebody that's a child of Almighty God if they know who they are. Amen. There are angels that can block anything they need to block. They can warn you so you're nowhere near it. But these things act, they work on faith. You have to listen to the Spirit of God and you have to do what he told you to do. But this thought that, well, you know, God couldn't protect them, that's a lie. What we're reading says clearly that God will protect us. It doesn't matter if there's an army around us, let alone some guy that's got a chip on his shoulder. They're not going to take out my kids. We have to take authority and say no. There's this fear, though, and that's what we've mentioned, a fear that tries to come to people. Well, what if that happens? I mean, look at so-and-so. Who do you think's feeding you that nonsense? Well, you know, these people, I mean, God couldn't keep them. So God's word's not true. I'm telling you, there are people that are in very dangerous areas, but know they're supposed to be there. And are kept. Makes anything we're dealing with look like a cakewalk. I mean, they're right in the middle of this stuff, but they're called there to share the gospel. Places in the Middle East. Well, they just can take out, get taken. So God has sent them on a mission, but poor all them, I mean, they could be taken out any time by the enemy. No. Really? So that doesn't make any sense. Either you believe, so God sent them there to be murdered because poor old God could not keep them from being taken out by some godless person that's yielding to the devil. Really? That's what we believe. So if you believe that, you're a target. So we need to get rid of the, well, I just don't know what could happen. I mean, it could happen. We just don't know. We do know. We're reading it right now. And we need to claim this and say, no, this is, as for me and my house, we're protected. Nothing's happening. Boldly. No, it would, my children are protected. Nothing will ever come against them. The Bible is, and I'm protected. Wherever I am, God will warn me. God will protect me. But I can walk around. I am a child of my Almighty God. I am an ambassador on this earth, and I will not be taken about out by some tactic of the devil. Period. We need to get bold and sassy about that. Otherwise, we're feeling like, well, I don't know. Well, if we don't know, why would we not know? I mean, if all the things we've said, is God our God? Does this mean what it says it is, or is it just, you know, a bunch of fairy tales? And really, you know, you can be taken out at any time. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. What does that give you? The picture of He's my refuge and my fortress. How does some lunatic get through that? My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence, disease. He said He'll deliver it, deliver us from it. You realize all the junk that's floating in the air? You could be killed 1,000 times over. Yeah. Your immune system's shutting a lot of it down. God's already placed healing in you. There is, you don't have to be afraid of disease. Well, I don't know. I mean, this is going, okay. Does God's word says what it, does it mean what it says or not?
Yes, it does.
John G. Lake got a revelation of this. They had people that were dying of plague, and he said, that cannot harm me. And he went up to a slide. He took some foam. They took some foam off a slide, off of a person that had just died, was foaming at the mouth, put it on a slide, put it under a microscope, and he said, look at that. And it was teeming with germs and stuff just going around. And he put his finger on it, on the slide, and he said, now look at it. And it was dead. Everything stopped. It was motionless. Because they were asking him, he was going around ministering to people in his hospital, and they said, well, aren't you afraid you're going to get sick? He said, I will not get sick. Then he quoted Romans 8. I'll read it to you real quick. These verses. Verse 2 says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus this is Romans 8, 2, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. If we have the Spirit of God in us, it will overtake the law of sin and death. Supersede it. But let's keep reading in Psalm 91. Verse 3, surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. Well, you know, but you know, terrorists can get through that, or somebody just coming up to you and trying to harm you, they can get through that. No, they can't. Seriously? Under His feathers? Really? No. Well, you know, you just never know what God's going to do. No, He's telling us what He's going to do. He shall cover you with His feathers. Does that sound like a safe place or a place where you just don't know? And under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow I just don't know. I mean, you know, what if somebody breaks into my house? Not going to happen. It says, you don't have to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. All these types of destructions, these diseases, these different attacks, we don't have to be afraid of them. Verse 7, look at this. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right now, at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. How clear can you get? There is 1,000 people falling on this side, 10,000 this way, but it won't come near me. Well, you just don't know. What are we reading? Literally, thousands of people are perishing right next to you, and the Bible says it will not come near you. There are angels. Just put up a shield right in front of you. Do we believe these words? Well, okay. Does this mean what it says or not? We have to take it to the bank. Believe it. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. You will just watch it happen. But it will not come near you. Will not come near your children. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. I mean, you realize we're getting to where we're maxing out the ability with antibiotics and stuff. We have overused them so much that stuff's starting to get resistant, and we're running out of options. Yep. Stuff that used to be, I mean, you've probably read stuff about this thing, diseases that have been a non-issue can come back, because we're getting to that point where we've used these things too much for every little thing. What are you going to do then? Well, to the natural person, no defense. But not this word reads the same in 2016 as it did when it was put down. No plague shall come near our dwelling. And anything that rises its head up, then we shut it down and say, wait. I read the word. This, you have no right in my dwelling. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. There's the angels. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with what? Long life. Well, how are you going to live long if you get taken out? Huh? With long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Glory to God. Is this the word of the Lord or not?
Yes.
Is it for us?
Yes.
It is for us. So these questions that are brought up by the enemy, we need to shut it down. How? With the word. No. That's not going to happen to my family. No, that's not happening to me. You shut up, fear. The word of God says I'm protected. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. No plague shall come near my dwelling. It doesn't matter if 1,000 are falling this way and 10,000 that way. I am safe. Period. We don't say it arrogantly. We say it boldly. No. God is my fortress. He is my Lord. He cannot be taken out, and I can't either. I'm going to stay close to him. This, guys, is why it is so important to listen to him. Don't put yourself in a position where you would go off. Yes, he's merciful, but this is why it's important to listen to him, because he is the source of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank the Lord God. I just want to read this in closing then, just to close with this, in Revelation 1, verse 17. This is Jesus. It says, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of Hades and of death. Jesus. He is the one. He is the first and the last. We are God's children. We are in his family. He is our king. He is our Lord. He is not going to be dominated by any godless person that's working for the devil. They cannot get through the defenses of the Almighty. Jesus said it. And we need to believe it. Amen.